Good evening, everyone, and welcome to ET Healing and Explorations in Consciousness. This is Jackie Salvitti with my fabulous co-host, Veronica Entwistle.
Good evening, Jackie. Good evening, everyone.
Hello, my darling.
Wow, this is going to be a show. Wow.
Well, I can tell you, I don't think I have an organ that doesn't hurt right now. So,
well, trust you to dig up the deepest stuff to keep us going.
Yeah, right. Well, you know, unfortunately, I am the guinea piggy. And
Piglet, darling.
Huh?
Piglet. This is about the woman.
Yeah, I know. Well, I'm filing a complaint. So tonight's show, Feminine Rage. And I love it when I got Veronica on the line tonight. She said, I'm ready to be angry. So tonight we're going to talk about feminine rage and how it's affecting our happiness, our health, our reality creations. And also how it's affecting our relationships or lack thereof, and it's really up in our faces right now. It is lifting up literally from the collective through all of us cellularly, one way or the other, and if it's not lifting out, it is turning in.
It's a terrific source of energy for creating peace on the planet, isn't it?
Yes, and so I have had a very exciting week and a half. So tonight's dedication, which I thought should be very easy, was to the healing of feminine rage on the planet and transformation of that to healing Earth. So that's perfect. I just plugged that in since I talked to you. Interestingly enough, I just got this from Squirrel like minutes ago, just as I was typing notes for the show. And it's an excerpt from Lisa Renee, her April newsletter, and it's on the masculine-feminine power rifts, and it's an excerpt from her newsletter. So I am going to, this kind of, it's a little long, but it's so appropriate for tonight. Certainly this has been an age of the female god principle becoming embodied as the prophet of the new age and the forerunner of the human ascension cycle. Recently rips through the fabric of time that have been key to creating gender split and distortion have been more readily apparent. Many of us are fulfilling the completion of roles we had embodied through the many stations of identities we have inhabited, such as Lemuria, Atlantis, and Egypt. Deeply embedded unconscious schisms and their ego implants have been more readily surfacing to view in mixed gender relations. This is specifically prevalent in circumstances of ego, perceived influence, or power. As a species and as a gender in form, we are rebalancing the power structures that have been so distorted for eons of time. In simple words, we're changing how relationships look. We are learning and developing new ways of loving and accepting each other through the mirrors of our gender, which I think is a brilliant statement. Old energy paradigms are completely obsolete, and yet our new world systems are not quite created to support our new ways of being. This creates many challenges with our ability to maintain absolute clarity in our gender interactions and to be aware of the deeply ingrained ego pitfalls of our species. Boy, is that true. There aren't many divine union templates readily available in our society as a tangible example for us, and so this transitional process takes great patience and fortitude. As more female bodies become integrated and embodied in the true God source, the female Melchizedek form or female cosmic Christ, there are power conflicts surfacing from age-old implants needing to be unified. These implants are from old energy structures still attempting to wield control over the exertion of true power. This new power source is God's source and obviously cannot be controlled nor contained. she goes on with some of this, especially as it pertains to the history of the patriarchal domination. And the enslavement, you know, of our species based on these systems. I think basically, you know, this is not news to anybody that, you know, we're certainly dealing with a huge change on the planet. We've seen the pendulum swing, you know, as we've dealt with the return of the goddess, which, you know, has been, lost for quite a while. But I think what happened, unfortunately, with the return of the goddess, is that also there came this whole thing of the goddess is feminine, and therefore females are more than males. And so we ended up with this pendulum swinging way over here. You know, would you agree with me, Ronnie?
Yes, I do, actually. Mm-hmm.
And we also ended up with kind of a new archetype, which became, and we've talked about this many weeks, the dominating feminine who wants to now control and dominate the male. And, you know, the image I always have, in fact, it was your partner, Bob, that made me giggle with this. We were talking about this yesterday, of the female standing on the male's neck. And he said, yeah, in spiked high heels or stilettos.
Giddy up.
So, anyway, I wanted to tell a really funny, how this really all came about and reason for tonight's show. And this is why I really say I am the guinea pig, no question about it. Week and a half ago, I've been working with this wonderful chiropractor here in my town. The team led me to him, and he's just not from this planet. And I don't let people touch me, so it's very unusual. I have one other person that works on me. And so, at any rate, I went to see him for the second time, and I said, you know, just, you know, this right here hurts and this, and then, you know, I know something else is going on. And he just barely touches just little fingertips on me and said, okay, feminine rage, the liver, and I go into spasms of pain.
Oh, my gosh. Wow. Great.
And, oh, yeah.
Good
it's
for
pretty
him,
huge. And so I left there with my liver in excruciating pain. It was just thrilling. And my left kidney again, of course, which is always the everything goes through my left kidney. And of course,
well,
you
that's
know,
the feminine as well.
Oh, very definitely. So you know, on the way home, I'm thinking, okay, well. And then I went into major detox. I mean, just it was horrible. I was out of my body the whole weekend. This was Saturday morning early. And needless to say, I'm not going to go see him very often. I know I have to do it every month instead of every other week because it's just...
Too much recovery time.
Oh, please. What was interesting, though, is... and I know, and the team loves this man. And it's very funny because Fotar has kind of a smell... like kind of like a wet dog, part of my team. And so I had told him the first time I went to him that, you know, I said, don't be surprised if you smell this kind of wet dog smell. And he said, gee, that was there this morning before you came. That was my first time. And so we kind of laughed about it. And at any rate, so I started thinking about it, and I thought, well, feminine rage, do I really carry feminine rage? Well, you know, of course, I'm a human. There's no way not to have it. Do I pick up a lot of it during the sessions? Yeah, because I'm kind of an instrument, a vehicle, if you will, and I do transmute a lot of stuff through my chakras and through my body. But
Jackie, you can't possibly not have it, given your relationship with your own mother.
Right. Well, that came up. Later, that came up this week, and I'll talk about that in a minute. But what was fascinating to me is that it set up a series of events and clients that all then started showing up with feminine rage, and I was like, and of course, which then would re-trigger everything in me, and I not only that, but other experiences that I have had, both during work sessions and in my personal life, you know, with friends, that, I mean, it has been an absolutely astounding time. And down to the point where we were at someone's house and this incredible gift was given to my son, which is a marble phallus. It's an ancient Chinese a phallic symbol with a food dogs on the testicles. I mean, the thing is huge, okay? It's heavy. It's been coming at me from every direction. And then the team really pushed me to get a male dog. And I'm going to, for those of you that know, I lost my Millie girl back in June. I had her for 12 years. And she made her transition last June. And I now am ready to bring another being into my life. And I'm getting two. I'm getting a male and a female. And I thought it was really interesting that I have been resistant to having a male dog. So this has all been perfect, okay, because I'm looking at all of this, and then, you know, we get this phallic symbol, this huge phallic symbol, and kind of looking at this whole feminine rage. Now, what's been fascinating to me is that as I've been working with people, and the team has been talking to people, and they've even, excuse me, new people coming in with depression and all of these very interesting, uncomfortable body aches, pains, discomfort, pressure, and the feminine and depression, of course, with the feminine rage just sitting there waiting to come up and out. And so the team has been showing me how this is actually moving up through the entire planet right now. And if we don't identify it, it can really sneak up and create a problem for us because it can come out at a very inopportune time, which none of us really want. So, you know, in doing my notes, it was kind of like, why do we have feminine rage? Well, that's kind of a no-brainer. It's sitting in the collective. And, you know, we've had thousands of years of suppression and repression of the feminine. Mm-hmm. And with the loss of the goddess came the suppression of the feminine, and the whole gender role dynamic has changed as a result of that. And
and all the vying for position. We didn't even have safety among other women, really.
Yeah, and you've talked about this one before, Veronica, and I you're absolutely right. And, you know, go on about that because, you know, you always bring this up, and I love this part of it.
Well, I just think that the nurturing quality, you know, of women, which we have, I mean, it's incredible, has been so kind of distorted and suppressed by the fact that, you know, our what we outdo each other so that we can win the attention of the males who are then running things and we don't maybe ever get anywhere. You know what I mean? That whole suppression that we've all lived with is really, really distorting. And what I see is women these days trying to learn to see each other differently and feel the presence and the camaraderie differently than it was before. You know?
Well, the whole sisterhood, and the last time that, you know, I'm really aware of it with the Essenes, where the goddess was still very, you know, the goddess work was still very prevalent coming all the way from Isis, was where the women worked together in terms of even when they would make their transition, other women would close down their chakras as they were making their transition.
Mm.
And initiations into their feminine, into their womanhood. You know, men traditionally had them, but women, you know, this was an honoring course to the American Indians and other, what's the word I'm looking
Indigenous?
For? Indigenous. Thank you, that one. Indigenous tribes have done this as well. But the competition, certainly that you're talking about,
mm-hmm.
Evolved because, you know, things got so turned around where men became the hunters and the gatherers and the protectors, and, you know, women really weren't allowed other than to do work, manual labor. And
we weren't allowed to really express our more fey principles and talents and so on, all of that, too, you know.
Well, and then we were pushed out of religion.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Out of hierarchical stuff.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know what, Jackie? We were talking today to our friend here who's an acupuncturist. We go to her husband who's a chiropractor, wonderful people. And she's been involved in world peace missions, and she gave a talk. She does microlending and works with women in different parts of the world. And she's been telling me for quite a while now about in 2010 in Sofia, Bulgaria,
mm-hmm.
is that where it is? They're going to have a conference on women. They're expecting 50,000 women from all over the world. And she was talking about building up this conference, and she's on conference calls with women from all over the world. And what they're doing, and this I think is relevant to what you're saying, what they're doing is learning a new way of coping that is non-hierarchical, and it's really pushing people's buttons and then pushing their striving to move past that to work in what she called was a circle style of evolving an entire system. They're working for peace all over the world. And she meditates with people in Palestine,
beautiful.
Israel, and so on.
Beautiful.
And speaks at the UN and so on. So she's managing to get her toe, more than her toe, into that. But talking about that new model, I think, is really exciting.
That is, it's thrilling to see this coming about. And this is part of the evolution and the redefining of roles.
And she said that the rage comes up.
In her work?
Well, in the gathering of these women trying to create more of a global consciousness, and they're from all different countries, the rage rises, and sometimes the power issues are really difficult, but they're getting there bit by bit by bit. You know,
very
exciting. I mean, it's just
it is nice
to think it's a global organization in a way, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Well, and, you know, I want to go back to how we're feeling this individually right now for people who are listening tonight, because and I want to talk about Squirrel, who is one of our wonderful people who's written marvelous things that we've read on the show. And in working with Squirrel, what has been fascinating for me is that Squirrel's liver, you know, has been kind of a
litmus paper
for glowing liver. And we worked with Squirrel's liver pain, it was like radar almost, and every time she would be around a man, her liver would flare. And then it got to be whenever she would be around a woman who was being cruel to her son or to another man, her liver would flare.
Hmm.
And her liver was responding to the whole, not only the feminine rage within herself, but what she was seeing outside of herself. And, you know, I just thought that this was so interesting because we are seeing this. And we're also seeing the passive-aggressive rage. And I'm sure we all have friends, okay,
mm-hmm.
where we've seen powerful women in relationships who pretend not to be powerful, you know, especially those that try to be the good little girl, who are really very powerful and haven't stepped in and owned their full power. And so they end up being very passive-aggressive. And usually I have seen them with very successful men. And we end up with this very passive-aggressive. It's the relationship is doomed, okay? It's absolutely doomed because when you're dealing with a passive-aggressive, you know, without dealing with the feminine rage, they can never get, they just stay in, you call it the circle. That's a different kind of circle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in sessions, and I wanted to bring this up because I think this is so funny, where I started seeing it, not only in the liver, but was also with candida and yeast.
So that makes sense.
Okay, candida is a festering, okay, and so is yeast. At men, it's an anger at men that's
mm-hmm.
never really been dealt with. And, and since we were talking earlier this evening, I guess I can go ahead and show this or say this. What's interesting in doing sessions on people is that because so much of it goes through my own body, I deal with, I have kind of a what I call the magic yoni.
Um, You're boasting, Jackie.
No, no. No, trust me. Well, yeah, right. Because I go through periods where it is very uncomfortable and very, and again, this is this whole festering issue around dealing, because we're doing so much work in the second chakra with the power retrieval. And all of this stuff coming through there, and I mean, trust me, if I could figure out a way to do this where it didn't go through me, it'd be perfect, but unfortunately I'm not there yet. Somehow I get it. I get it through my chakras. There's no way not to at this point, at this juncture. I mean, I'd just like to be able to transmute it a little faster. But I'm finding, and you know, it's been showing up, like I said, in sessions, and I had a session today with someone, and this was so fascinating. This is somebody who has is a very powerful woman, has done a tremendous amount of divine feminine work, and but during her session today came the whole feminine rage and her issues with the phallus, and in dealing with the male phallus and what it represents, how she's been having issues with and really been dealing in wonderful ways, you know, trying to understand her relationship with the male phallus and you know, how an erect phallus actually represents domination to her. And she's having to go back to her child, to the innocence of little girl, little boy, kind of playing with discovering each other and so on. In order to create a new kind of relationship with the male phallus. So it doesn't feel like it's dominating. And I found this really a fascinating session. And of course, you know, there are so many women who are either not dating or not in relationship right now. Many women who've been out of relationship for 10, 12 years. I'm sure you see a lot of them, don't you,
yes,
Veronica?
Yes, I really do. Mm-hmm.
And I think part of this is because we're in this kind of whole reorganization of gender roles. And even with myself, you know, I took on... when I was in business, I had to deal with very much in business with, you know, a major oil company, and in the gaming industry, I was dealing with powerful. They were considered powerful in the consensus. Okay, powerful male, you know, role models, role figures, if you will. And so I had to take on an entirely different persona in order to deal with them. And in order to hold my ground, if you will. You couldn't go in, you know, blonde and, you know, in high heels and, I mean, although I wore them, but, and giggle and make it work. You had to come in with your own energy of power and strength and very businesslike. And
you had to be stronger than they did, really.
In many ways, very much so.
Mm-hmm.
And what I found is that... in a way, I was intimidating.
You were intimidating?
Yes. And so I believe it or not, there was a time in my life when I was very demure.
I can believe that.
And I got run over in business. And I mean, I had a great deal of trouble with men coming on to me inappropriately. And very uncomfortable business experiences. So I had to develop a different kind of persona in order to, because I did a lot of things that I was the first woman to do this and the first woman to do that. And in different areas, I'm not bragging here, it just happened to be that at the time, you know, this was in the 70s when I first started out. And so I was kind of ahead of my time, especially when I started out in Utah. Which that was a whole other story. But I find it very interesting that
as interesting. I think of Utah and the Mormons, and think of one man and many women sometimes. So I feel like it's interesting you got your power there as a little blonde woman.
Well, it was very, very interesting, and to be very honest with you, the men were terrified of me.
I don't blame them, Jackie.
They were absolutely terrified. It was very, very, very funny. You have no idea. They were fascinated, but they were terrified. Because I represented something very different, you know, in a town where, you know, I was told by the banks and so on that we would starve if we did business there, and of course that's all you had to tell me. But going back to
the Mary Kay of commercial real estate.
Yeah, that's what it was. Let's go back to, you know, even our relationship with God. And if we're carrying feminine rage, that puts a twist on our relationship with God. There's no way to have a really trusting, healthy relationship with God if you're carrying feminine rage. And because in there somewhere you're going to be carrying betrayal, abandonment, some aspect that keeps the twist on it. It's almost impossible to have faith and trust, especially with what we carry in the collective for all the years of torture and killing and this and that in the name of God. We know that's in the collective as well. But where I see people with their faith wavering, their trust wavering when it comes to the concept of God, they're fine with the goddess. But with God, and we have to have that balance. You just can't do it one way. There's no way. And now, you know, we go, and how many times do you hear from people when you have sessions, Veronica, that everybody is looking for a mate, their soulmate, their twin flame? And it's impossible, absolutely impossible to create your dream come true relationship with feminine rage.
Right.
It's impossible because it's going to play out somewhere.
Sort of magnetizes the person that'll bring it up in you, right?
Oh, God, yes, and Lord knows I've been there.
This is the thing I keep reminding people. It can be a soulmate, and it can be a twin flame, and it can be just as rageful as any other kind of mismatch out there.
Oh, absolutely. I actually had a relationship with a man. It was the first time I ever actually got to lose my temper at a man. It was absolutely wonderful. We had these unbelievable fights. They were fabulous and they were funny. And I actually miss it because it was really, in a way, very healthy for me at the time, because I needed to deal with that. I'd never had an outlet before. And because when they were done, they were done. But it was very funny. I mean, some of the silly things that we did. Today I wouldn't want one of those, but at the time it was actually quite fun.
It's all stepping stones, isn't it?
Well, the bank up sex was great. But we're still also carrying the anger at all of the men who have never been our dream come true relationship. They're never going to measure up to our dream. It's impossible because they can never make up for, never make up for all that we have experienced with Dad, with Mom, with everybody. And we all carry this fantasy of what a relationship should be. And along with it, we're pulling along this giant suitcase of feminine rage. So at some point, they're going to trigger us. They're either going to disappoint us, they're not going to make enough money. You know, and I see this with people who say, I fall in love with a man and he loses everything. A Jeep, go figure. Of course they do. And the dream come true relationship, 6 months in, turns into a nightmare. It has to, because you're still playing out somewhere to vent your feminine rage. In that relationship where we had the arguments, I was looking for a place to vent my feminine rage. And he was the perfect candidate. And, I mean, you know, the truth was I actually did really love him. And he could, no one could make me as angry as he could. It was absolutely wonderful. For me, it was the healthiest thing that ever happened. But I don't recommend that today.
Well, you don't need the same thing all the time, right?
No, at the time it was perfect. But today we're looking and we're redefining what a relationship looks like. You know, part of this is that we want the man to be this strong, powerful man, and then we come in and want to dominate them. And this is what, you know, the paradox, I look at this and just laugh like hell because I realize how funny this is. We want, and I see this where women become competitive with men. They pull in a very powerful man, and they act very sweet and loving and so on and so forth. And then they start pulling their power forward, pulling it forward, and then wait for the man to fail. This is that other archetype. Okay.
So they can show they can do it without him.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
That they're smarter, stronger, better at whatever. So they're actually waiting for the man to show his weakness. And instead of being able to come into a relationship where you're willing to show your vulnerability and to look at theirs. And it's an interesting thing with women. They don't want to see, generally speaking. You know, they may say it. But a lot of women don't want to see the vulnerability in men. I can't tell you how many times I've heard from very spiritual women, he's too wussy for me. Have you heard this one?
I think so. Yeah, yes. I'm not sure if I quite see it that way. You know what was pointed out to me recently is that sometimes those of us who have not had very soothing or strong feminine, like mother, mother for me was missing in terms of nurturing or anything like that. So it was pointed out to me that I always try to find a male who fulfills the role of the mother in the sense of providing that warm, loving ambiance.
Really?
When you think about that, I keep thinking about it going, well, now that's interesting, isn't it?
So in essence, what you're saying is that in a way you're projecting mother onto your partner.
Sort of, yeah. Or that dream of love that was missing. You see? Not the behavior. So I haven't had that kind of men in my life at all. Mother was pretty wild and violent, you know. But
the nurturing.
Yeah. And not trusting the feminine and being mad at the feminine, so knowing you get it from the male. But the approach is to want the male to be that instead of, like, so I kind of like when they're vulnerable. You know what I'm saying? I don't really know if I can explain it that way.
No, but no, that works perfectly.
And wussy is not good for me because I'm too big a handful. As soon as he shrivels when I go boo, I just go, this is not going to work, you know. I even have big hands for a relatively average, smallish woman. Whenever I dance with a man, if he had smaller hands, I get nervous. I go, uh-oh. So I'm not sure about the wussy, but I do know if they're too, if you can't really express yourself without the fellow becoming really, really weak, then it's very scary because then you're in a different kind of jail, aren't you? You have to really be like corseted, right? Girdled in there, girl.
That's a very interesting.
So it's not just because he's sensitive, because I'm with a very sensitive man who's also can be strong and tough and all that.
Yes,
stuff
he can.
Yeah, he's got a pretty good gamut.
Well, he's very balanced.
Yeah, I would say most of the time, but he lets himself get vulnerable sometimes.
Yes, but he also runs kind of a quiet power, and
that's right.
That which I consider that to be very, very. Because I dealt with so many powerful men. Well, again, consensus is powerful.
But it can make me mad. But yeah, you're right. So I'm not afraid of the sensitive or the vulnerable. But the wussy, I go, yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm afraid he'd be hiding behind the couch, or I'd be so terrified of saying boo for fear he'd have a nervous breakdown or something.
Well, you know, I think, again, this is is as I look out at the women and all, you know, the sessions that have come up in this last week and a half, which has been, you know, I swear they're up there. I sometimes feel like a little puppet, is that all this is orchestrated, and I just laugh like hell.
Well, you know what I find, Jackie? I find as soon as I say, gee, I'm really perplexed about, for example, the feminine power, the rage of women, then the next three sessions, without question, are going to be just loaded with that until I'm just sweating to try to keep up with it all.
There you go. And that's exactly what has happened in the last week and a half for me with this whole thing with the feminine rage. And so what I'm seeing, are you there, Ronnie?
Yes, that was funny. Was that one of your team?
Yeah, probably. I'm telling you, one day we're going to be on the show and they will break in with kind of an organic type of voice. I'm just waiting for them to chime in.
Well, that looked like it was a bit of an intro of some sort.
Yes, well, they're more and more interactive. Yes, we have a caller.
Mm-hmm. Hello?
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 Can you hear me?
Barely, but we can hear you.
Okay. Hi, Jackie.
Hi.
This is your niece.
Oh, hi, dear. How are you, honey?
This is Angie, and I just wanted to tell you I listen to your show, and I love your laugh, and I think you have a lot of good things to say.
Well, thank you, Angie, and I love you, darling.
I love you, too.
Big hugs and kisses, honey.
Huh?
Big hugs and kisses.
I can't hear you.
I said big hugs and kisses.
Oh, big hugs and kisses to you, too. I'm up here in Montana.
All right, my darling. Well, keep listening.
Okay.
I love you, honey.
Love you. Bye-bye.
Hi.
That's great.
That's my darling niece. Well, which actually, she comes out of a family, it was very interesting that she would call in tonight, that was very much male-dominated and yet very much female-dominated. And it was a very interesting dynamic where the mother, it was a matriarchy, Italian and matriarchy. This is my ex-husband's family. And the men, the two sons became very dominant in their marriages and with their children. And so her dad was my ex-husband's brother. And she's become a very powerful young woman. So
wonderful.
Very proud of her.
Hmm. You go, Angie. Good girl.
Yeah, you go, girl. So how do we really deal with, right now, working with feminine rage and recognizing it, releasing it, and working with it instead of against it?
You can only vacuum so much.
I don't. Leave it to you, Veronica. And, you know, I really want to say here that this is, first of all, you got to get rid of the good little girl.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? For those of you who are still holding on to, but I was such a good wife, I was such a good mother, I was such a good this, throw it out the window. Okay? It's not working for you right now.
Well, that's that suppressed, got to do it right or else. You can't be kept or something.
Yeah, there was something like that. And mm-hmm. The other thing, and Veronica and I were talking about this earlier, after I opened this up, I have another wonderful man that works with me and on my body, and I said to him, you know, this showed up, this feminine rage showed up in my liver, and, you know, I've got the trick yoni going on, so come in on this frequency and see if, you know, coming in through the liver, see if we can get to the feminine rage aspect as you're working in this in my fields. So he comes in through the liver, and as he's working on me, and this is the most fascinating part, and I don't know how I missed this, but Ronnie, you picked up on it right away. Up comes, and as I'm laying there, I'm feeling the energies coming up, my mother. And it's my mother's imprint at her rage at men. My mother hated men. Okay? she was the archetype of the dominating men with the stilettos on the throat. I mean, you know, and so this is lifting up and out of me, and I'm going, oh, my God, how could I miss this? And I got the imprint from Mom. Now, for everybody listening, whether you're male or female, trust me, your imprints are in there, and think, you know, look at your moms and how have they been with men, and did they carry the rage, you know, how did it, you know, did they carry it at men, at women, I don't care how, but recognize it could be there. The next piece that came up, which I was so fascinated by, was my ex, the woman he was married to prior to me, was a major man-hater. And up came her energy, which I picked up through the sexual act with him. And she was a rageaholic. All of this started lifting out of my cell, in my all of my different bodies, all my energy bodies coming out.
Wow.
And I'm like, oh, my Lord. Now, we've had, you know, shows where we've talked about sex, and what can happen when you're having sex with other people and you're picking up the energy of the other people they've been with. This one really rocked my world when I realized how deeply embedded it had become in my energy field. And I mean, it was in the living color. It wasn't like it was anything. I wasn't making this up and I wasn't looking for it. I mean, they were there in all their glory. And I'm telling you, I don't think there's an organ on me that doesn't hurt this week. This stuff was lifting up and out. So I've been fascinated. The other thing, and now some, you know, the sexual act, and I, you know, we're going to have to do a whole show on this, Ronnie, I think, because it's so fascinating to me.
Hmm.
But
let's not do it like they do on HBO, okay?
Oh, no, we won't do that one. But the this love-hate relationship that we've had with sexuality, and it's, you know, I'm not going to say everybody, but I'm going to say that there has been, for some women, a fear of being dominated in the sexual act or being, how would I put this, falling prey to allowing their sexuality to run their life. Okay?
Hmm.
It may be a smaller segment of the populace, but it definitely is there. You know, I'll just use
you mean that their sexual drives would keep them kind of addicted to...
Yes, that would be me late raising my left hand.
Mm-hmm.
That has been something that I've had to really work around for fear that it would take me off my assigned path, so
mm-hmm.
to speak. And so how it manifests is, you know, with a lot of women have just shut down sexually. They blame it on menopause and this and that. But a lot of times, especially with what we're doing right now in terms of redefining a lot in our roles, is having this whole kind of a gender re-identification in terms of what is our real role. And these young people now are playing it out. I think, you know, if you look at all the young starlets, nobody knows what the hell their names are because there's so many of them right now. But if you look at them, they are taking very equal involvement in the raising of their children, mm-hmm. in running their households, in all of their choices and decisions. It's not the role assignment that we've seen in the past. And it's interesting because the team brought this up several times in sessions. About if you go back and you look at the old I Love Lucy series or Leave It to Beaver, okay?
A little bit of victimization, don't you think?
Oh, my Lord. Now, that was late 50s, early 60s. And if you look at the way that the assignments were within the family structures and dynamics, the wives were still asking permission to spend money, to buy this, to do that, how different it was then. And, I mean, and you know, so much of it, especially Lucy, was evolved around her trying to get money to do something from Ricky, you know. And it really has made me, you know, think about how quickly, in a very short period of time, you know, women have evolved into a totally different position within the family structure. And also, again, a whole re-identification of gender. Wouldn't you agree, Veronica?
I sure would. And I was thinking of the interview I did with John Gray, you know.
Yes.
And he was saying basically, and this is just a reiteration, but he said that a lot of women are just walking out of relationships these days because I guess the drive is so much for women to accomplish so much that the sexual energy is kind of down. The men aren't changing very much, and the women are changing too much, or changing so much that they're just walking out the door saying, "This is all too much, and I don't need to do it this way anymore." It's pretty interesting. You said that we don't have to do it that way, but it's just what's happening when women are under such pressure to produce on all levels. They don't feel as sexually drawn to the man who's still going to his cave and sort of reading his newspaper or whatever, you know?
Well, I mean, you know, I would equate this. I remember with my ex-husband, at one point I looked over at him with a remote control in his hand, and I thought, oh, why exactly do I feel safer with having him in the house when all the, you know, the only weapon he's got is a remote control? And I wasn't, you know, thinking of that versus a gun. But I was thinking of, you know, why do I need this? A lump on the couch with a remote control who never lifted a hand, never did anything, you know, was, you know, I mean, certainly not the most, I mean, I don't want to put him down here, but, and it was that same kind of thing that John Gray was talking about. It was a moment of epiphany where I said, wait a minute, I work, I do everything, well, why exactly do I need him?
Right.
And he was flabbergasted that I thought that I didn't. And to this day, still believes that he spent 30 minutes with me, I'd come back. I hate to tell him he's wrong. But you're right. I mean, this is that whole point where there is a lot of pressure too. People aren't being driven because they are recognizing they came here to do something. And I think some of the new relationships that I have seen, and even some old ones, that have evolved together where they do share. I have friends who've been married almost 50 years, and they share everything.
And are really interested in what each of them is producing and growing through, right?
They're wonderful. Mm-hmm. They recognize that making each other upset would be the dumbest thing that they could do.
Mm-hmm.
And they're funny, they're wonderful, they're playful, they're truly, you know, to me, the ultimate couple in terms of just, I adore them both, okay? They are my role model in terms of what I look at a relationship of just, you know, in fact, I'm not allowed to date anybody unless I run them by them first. So,
but actually, the reality is when people are doing their own thing together, it's, you know, they might not be doing the same thing, but doing their own thing together is really, it's a generating kind of aura, atmosphere, isn't it? It's wonderful.
It is wonderful. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and supporting each other through all of their ups and downs, you know, the good times, the bad times, whatever, but always very loving, always very caring, and, you know, and yet still very funny and, you know, honoring each other's time away from each other. It's just probably the healthiest relationship I've ever seen between two people. So I want to talk a little bit, too, about feminine rage in men, because men were separated from their feminine generally around the age of 3, okay? Somewhere right around the age of 3, male children are taught, you know, you don't cry, 3 to 5, you know, you don't cry, you don't play with dolls. You know, this is the role that you're supposed to fit into over here. And the feminine, in most cases, was taken away from them. Now, some of the new children that are coming in, they're not having to deal with that. But a lot of the people in our age group, certainly, the feminine was kind of pulled away from them. They were separated out from the feminine and pretty much told, this is bad. This is not what you do. If you do, you know, you're fey, you're a fag, you're this, you're that, you know, you were made fun of. And the way that I have seen this play out, and I've certainly seen it in the sessions, is that it many of these, because they separate out from their feminine, and it gets so suppressed and repressed, that the rage can turn into misogynism. And so they become women haters. Now, have you run into that one, Ronnie?
Yes. Yeah, it's kind of a defensive thing, isn't it?
It is a defensive thing. And
because they're not allowed to be who they are, and the woman is the one who rules that.
Well, yeah. They're never fully able to become the balanced person, just like women were not. What we're really emerging into is a more balanced perspective of who we really are.
So each of us having our male and female sides, right?
Right, embracing the divine masculine feminine so that we come into a greater balance. And bringing that together so that we can support it. And, you know, we're seeing relationships now where the man may be running the feminine, the woman may be running the masculine.
Mm-hmm.
And they're making it, I'm seeing this with a lot of younger couples. And they make it work. It's perfect for them.
And they don't seem to be particularly uptight about it either.
Absolutely not. Mm-hmm. It works for them. They're not hung up on the traditionalism that we grew up with, that it was assigned through television. You know, I mean, it was very, you only had a few stations. You know, you had these sitcoms, and those sitcoms were kind of what you grew up believing families were.
Mm-hmm.
And your role in them. Now you see everything on television. I mean, it's... you know, thank you, Will and Grace, you know.
What a relief, eh?
Yes, it's actually a wonderful relief. And and going back to this whole misogynist aspect, what ends up happening for men is they end up craving the feminine and resenting the fact that they do, and then end up it gets twisted, and it's very, very sad. I'm, you know, having had relationships with several misogynists. I know this one very, very well.
Where they really make mockery of all our dominant. Okay. I was just thinking, all you have to do is look at some birthday cards, you know, and the joke that they make about the wife, what the wife does, and what she expects the man to be like, and all of that, right?
Well, I didn't see the misogynism played out so much that way as I did. It stayed fairly hidden, and it was very interesting. They end up resenting you because you are strong and powerful.
Mm-hmm.
And because they find that they need you, and they resent the fact that they need you, so they end up, in a way, punishing you for it.
You know, one of my husbands sounds like I've been married 10 times, which I have not. But
oh, come on, Ronnie.
every time I step forward, like when I finally finished my degree and all that, he got sick as I went into any new phase. It was just about predictable. And he would be lying there in a raging sweat and fever and all of that, and I'd be looking after him when I'm actually graduating from college. With, you know, and I think it was just that. It was just very scary for him.
Is this the same? You told me one story once, so I wish you would tell it because it was really quite interesting. He'd sent you to go do something, and you were so good at it that he then told you never to go back?
Yeah, no, that was my first husband. Yeah, that was very funny because he said, you're too prissy. All the women are wearing jeans, you know, and they're going to these caucus meetings. I said, I don't want to go. He said, you need to go. So I went, and then I came back, and he was very articulate. He talked a lot. It was pretty entertaining, very brilliant. And I said, so what exactly is a male chauvinist? He explained it carefully, and I said, well, you're one. And he said, oh, but I'm a product of my environment. And I said, well, what do you think I am? And he said, you're not going to any more meetings. And I fell on the floor. I laughed so hard. I said, yeah, right, you know. It was your idea, big boy. Here I go. And it is like that. Here I come, ready or not, right?
Oh, God, I love it.
I do, too. And it was just like the unwrapping of those programs that we'd all been raised in, hey?
That's exactly right. So let's talk for a minute Ronnie, about how to lift feminine rage and how to deal with it. We only have a few minutes here. I hate to talk about this stuff and leave people going, you know, great, now what do I do? I would really, really, really encourage all of you to talk with your guides. If you don't know them by name, doesn't matter. You know, call on God, Goddess, all that is. Call on the team. Call on, I don't care who you call on. You know, just ask in general for help. Ask before you go to sleep at night. Ask to process it in ways that are safe and that you don't have to experience too much discomfort, so that you can recognize it for what it is and allow it to come up and out safely. Preferably, you know, not punching anybody out or doing anything too outrageous.
I was just thinking that. May it come out in a nice, sweet little trickle and not some huge explosion.
Right, exactly. Now, you know, I have two friends right now who are going through cellular release with feminine rage. And, I mean, they have been almost down for the count for a couple of days.
Hmm.
With diarrhea and, you know, aches all over and this and that and the other. It's not the flu. I mean, they're going through a cellular lifting. And we've been doing a lot of processing together and so on, just as friends, and it's just really coming up and out of them. For those of you that are running depression and who are saying to yourself, well, I love men, I have absolutely no feminine rage, I would recommend that you spend some time in front of a mirror. Hi, we have a caller.
I think we're being asked to end the show.
Oh, is that what it is?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Okay, Ronnie.
Now I'm rageful.
Okay, anyway, ask for help. Your guides will help you. This is really big stuff. So if you feel kind of crappy, know that that's what it is. Ronnie, who's on next week for your show?
Well, I'm rerunning the Bashar interview that we did on New Year's Day.
Oh, fabulous.
Wonderful, wonderful, fun interview, and not enough people heard it, so I'm doing it again.
Oh,
on
wonderful.
5 o'clock Paradigm Shifters Tuesday, BBS Radio.
Absolutely, Bashar is wonderful. Love Bashar.
You'll laugh. It's fun.
Love Bashar, and you're doing fabulous work, Ronnie.
Thank you so much. So are you.
And we love all of you. A piece of you, every one of you is in Ronnie and I. And a piece of Ronnie and I are in each and every one of you. It can be no other way. We really are all one. And we are all working together, whether you realize it or not, even during these show times. We are moving energy. We are shifting things. We are loved. We have a lot of help from the other side of the veil. We love you all so much. We'll talk with you next week. Thank you so much for tuning in. Have a beautiful, wonderful week. Work with your rage.